Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Great.
What joy, right? So the first thing that always catches my mind when I come into a center like ours, and I'm going to call it ours, is that we get to, by the grace of Ernest Holmes, honor every tradition, honor the many paths, not one way. And I'm so blessed by that, because when I first found the science of mind, I'll just brief little backstory. My father was a seeker. My father wanted to know God, I believe, for his own health and healing. And so we went to multiple churches. And although he did not find his revelation at the level that I now choose to abide and stay in the process of health and wholeness, he left a library. I inherited books of Troward and James Allen. I had attended Centers for Spiritual Living. He used to help set up the holiday shows at Dr. Richelieu in Redondo Beach. And so what I was aware of was that there was definitely a power. There was something. I didn't feel connected to it, but I could see it. I could see it in my childhood life. My father was an illustrator. My sister, we always say she was born with toe shoes on. She knew, right? She knew. She flew into the world completely comfortable, available, and ready to go. My brother was a singer at the time. He traveled with the boys' chorus. And I, do you remember riding a bike when you're a kid and you go to pedal and the chain comes off and you just feel like you're not going anywhere? Yeah. For many family at dinner, my mom would say, "Go ahead, Rachel. Tell them what you've done in your life." And I'm like 8, by the way. So by then it was not just, and ballet, as beautiful as it is, not my call. Super boring. Beautiful, don't get me wrong. Not mine. I was more of a jazz, tap, let's move, shake, rock, roll kind of girl. There was ice skating, there was tennis. There was piano, that was my favorite. Being sent home from Yamaha school with a paper piano to practice. We did not have the money for a piano. Did anybody try to practice piano on paper? Anyone? Get in, I'm like hitting the key, I'm like, it sounds different. I don't, got nothing. Yeah, there was a lot of that. So in my world, growing up in a family that had these professionals that were thriving in their lives, and I am seeking, I'm trying to find my rhythm, timing, and tempo in the world. And I hear people around me say, either you have it or you don't. Anyone? Yeah. Life's losses, grievances, transformations. I found ways to be okay in the not okay, right? I think it's Florence Scovel Shinn who talks about living on the fringe of your heart's desire. Did that until I couldn't. I found ways to let's just call it self-medication for a period of time. But the beauty of knowing that we are now, as I look back, of course, that all of that shoving that energy back, trying to ignore, trying to be okay in the not okay, eventually has to come up, right? We cannot, as much as I love some of our verbiage in terms of the power of my word, right? I spoke so many things trying to change or alter the way that I felt, and there was more for me to uncover. So much more. And again, that's why I'm brought back to the lighting of the candles. There are so many beautiful pathways to health, wholeness, and for me it was freedom. I really wanted freedom. I wanted to have that innate connection that I could see walking around the world that I was not having that personal relationship with at all. Didn't matter whether I was stone sober or off trying other things, I could not grasp, feel the freedom that I knew my soul ached for. So one of my favorite statements is to be a practitioner of mysticism, By the way, if you've taken classes, work with a practitioner, have studied, done any research, or applying, welcome, you are a mystic, is a desire to seek and apply the disciplines that create the personal experience of feeling union with the divine. We know it moves beyond the intellectual, the knowing that the divine is innate, which means the capacity is in every person. Fred prayed about it, read about it, we light candles about it. The spiritual good, this God stuff, is natural human endowment. Natural. Like I mentioned, it didn't feel like that for a very long time in my life. And luckily, I got so not well that I had to seek medicine, right? So I'm blessed by this diagnosis that says it's chronic. Here's some pills. Well, guess what? Something in me did not align with the stuff that was being offered to me. And so again, there's something off about me, there's more conclusions being drawn, and now I'm just trying to muddle through life. I'm bobbing through life, trying to be okay in the not okay. Well, eventually I surrender, right? I get to a point in my life where I'm like, I've got to do something differently. So I surrender some of my own choices of self-medication. And now I'm young, I'm married, I'm sitting in a rocking chair, expecting my son, listening to Dr. Richelieu tapes. My mother had sent them from Europe and I would listen to them on rinse and repeat, just trying to reprogram my mind and understand that if I am cause, which is quite humbling, by the way, and if you've ever lived in victim, it can make me a little angry to hear that I was thinking that I was a victim. I had the stories of if you'd lived through what I've lived through, seen what I'd seen, and experienced the losses I had lost, you would feel and have the same experience I did. But that got me nowhere, right? Got me nowhere. So through the continuation of practices, listening, learning to listen, Florence Scovel Shinn talks about the power of a word, like I briefly mentioned. When we come into the awareness that my word is powerful, my word is creative, my thoughts create things, coming back to that idea that I am cause, it makes you take a little glance on what's going on inside. What Florence Scovel Shinn, the book is, of course, The Word is Our Wand, she affirms, and I started using affirmations like I mentioned, and in those affirmations, I didn't know why it worked or why it could work. But she describes that when you can't control your mind or you're not aware of what the mind is doing, you can control your word. And I love that. Because as much as I wanted things to change, I hadn't yet found my rhythm, timing, and tempo or the ability to rewrite the script. But what I could do is change what I spoke about. So through my practicum at home, in my home listening to Dr. Richelieu, and by then I'd found things like Les Brown and the Mark Victor Hansons and the, you know, all these beautiful inspiration guides that kept flowing to me. I had an insight that I needed to come back. I was living in the desert at the time. I decided to come back to Southern California. So my son was two. I pack everybody up. We come back to Southern California, and I said, I need to find a center for spiritual living. First thing I did, found Center for Spiritual Living in San Juan Capistrano. The gift was, is that in that divine desire, the universe aligned everything that I needed, wanted, and hoped for. I had classes scholarship to me. They had a beautiful choir I hopped into, even corralled my sister to come with me. So I had an anchor point and just began studying. And in that study and in that revelation, I began to experience the freedom from the chronic anxiety. I didn't label it because I really don't like talking about it, but I had basically agoraphobia. I couldn't go out into the world alone. The thought of going to a grocery store, the thought of driving a car was like, not me, not mine today. And when I woke up every morning, it was like the eyes would open and the clock would start. When's it going to happen? Where am I going to be? What am I going to do? But through working with practitioners and understanding that under causal effect and the desire to seek holistic and homeopathic remedies, my life began to transform and I began to feel differently. I began to sense something was different, something was active, something was alive in my body. The intuition was alive and well. So my path journeyed and continued, and we moved back to Arizona, back to the desert. My goal is to be back here before 40 years. That's my goal. I'm just going to say that out loud. I don't want to live in the desert for 40 years. I hear it's good, and a lot of good miracles happen, but I've already experienced enough miracles, so I'm ready to come back. But what I know is that, again, this law that I began to utilize more consciously, it's all-inclusive. It doesn't pick and choose what I'm thinking and what I'm saying and whether I had an off day or a good day or a bad day. It's all-inclusive and always corresponding to what I'm feeding it. So then, again, that impeccability with what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling and what I'm drawing into my life experience becomes that much more interpersonal, vigilant, and disciplined. Emerson affirms that I am my own authority. My reason and my intuition is equal to other persons. So then having that glimpse of the freedom piece, right? So I may not be the ballerina artist or whatever, but what am I here to do? And the awakened awareness, I'm here to be free. It can be just that simple. I wanted financial freedom, believe me, prayed a lot for the money, right? We say the cars, the parking spaces, the house, the boy, the health, the whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. As long as we engage in that relationship, begin to study what that those attributes are, and begin to relate to it. So again, my practicum, as much as I was studying and beginning to embody and beginning to understand this freedom, I still had a lot of clearing to do. I had a lot of energetic clearing to do. I had a lot of stories I had to rewrite. And the challenge many times, sometimes, not always, can be that that story in the world seems so real, right? It feels so heavy. It's like, how am I gonna, I said to one of my mentors at one point, how am I gonna get around this one? She's like, oh, you're not getting around it, honey, you're going through it. And I was like, what? Going through? How am I gonna get through this one? I began to seek. What are the practices? What are the rituals that are available to us? Where is the plant protein? Where are those things that I can begin to use in my life as my life that allow me to shift my navigational system? And it begins to work. And there's always a solution. There's always a solution. So in pursuit of the freedom and closeness of God, I have the need for many modalities, many practices that have pulled me from those things. Eventually, we all learn to navigate the world and experience our desires, experience that closeness, that word, that intuition that draws us into the next action. Establish what we call a spiritual fortitude through persistence. Because we start getting the feedback. The feedback changes, right? I do the discipline and the feedback changes. Carl Jung describes the individuation as the unfolding, the remembering process, as remembering the, Carl Jung describes the individuation as the unfolding, the process of remembering, awakening to what he refers to as realizing the godly in human, the uncovering of the wholeness as it has always existed. Again, kicking off the energies or the stories or those things that keep me in the ideation or the belief that I'm separate. It allows me to change my frequency, elevate, and have the different experience. So beginning to tell the new narrative, beginning to find out what that narrative is for ourselves, beginning to study that narrative, practice it out loud, whether you're driving down the car or driving down the road in the car. I used to joke about, like, I wonder what people think about me, because when I started driving, I used the power of word. Edwin Gaines, Louise Hay, you name it, I would listen to it. I'd be chanting it down the road, sometimes crying, sometimes fiercely pounding on the steering wheel, like, just change this for me, and wondering what people were looking at, right? Like, what is she doing in that car over there? I was changing my frequency, you know? And over time, to have this life experience that is completely free. And it did not come without the need, again, of the disciplines and of those things that called me forward and allowed me the space to grieve, to process, to trust, to feel safe in the world, in my world. Most of my making was my inner world, the stories that I told myself that, again, felt really real. And I was having the outer experience as a feedback. So how do I detach from that and plug into God and rewrite the story? And that's what we get to do. So the beauty of doing what I've done is the universe has called me in a lot of ways to study health, nutrition, fitness, flexibility, range of motion, trauma recovery, a little bit of everything. I get to go and be kind of a shower, a support for people who are literally overcoming some things that I could not even imagine walking through, let alone surviving, and then trying to put their lives back together, right? But what I do know is that there, again, are remedies and there's ways to activate and to calm that nervous system down and to come back to the true nature of who we are in the subtleties, in the truest form, in the truest nature. So whatever's called each one of you to be here this morning, whatever's called you to make a change in your life, I always encourage people to try something different, right? Seems a little, when I had a nonprofit organization, I said, my goal is to kind of demystify the woo-woo, especially in Arizona, we have a lot of woo-woo practitioners. But what's beautiful is all of it's true. All of it is functional medicine. So if you're bumping into an error belief, not finding the shift or that ability to get out of that gear, get the chain back on the bike and start moving forward, I encourage you to try something different. Do some research outside of the scope that you're comfortable with. Find the freedom or joy, health, love. I don't know, you pick it, right? Well, your spirit picked it, but lean in, right? And if you have any questions or you have any concerns or you need any support, you have a community of people who will sit and pray with you, who will hold that space for you, knowing. I think that was one of the greatest things, having a practitioner when I found religious science early on. I had somebody who would say, that's great, we're going to do that, and what work are you going to do, right? What practices are you taking home? Getting in the classes, watching other people have their revelation. It spurred this community agreement of transformation. I think you said right before the church, right? It's individual work that I get to do in a community because we're forever buffering. In Sufism, we talk about the 99 qualities, right? When we chant, we polish the qualities of the divine. Well, that's what we do here. We just kind of polish each other, right? Polish off our rough spots. We soften. We feel safe. We continue to grow, build, and develop. I am so blessed by Ernest Holmes. I am beyond grateful for those who even went before, right? All the messengers who carried the principle of what are we doing, what are we becoming, and how do we activate this? And so it's an honor and a joy to be here this morning. It's always an honor. To facilitate is one of my favorite things, so if you're staying, thank you. I look forward to seeing you at noon. We're going to discuss some of those remedies. We're going to discuss some of those rituals. Maybe debunk a couple of things that maybe you have perceived and become available to the opportunities to experience greater good, like it's promised. Yeah? Sound good? Yep. Beautiful. And so it is. Thank you.